We want to make sure that they are encouraged and that you all let them know how much you appreciate them. I know with the direction my life has taken, and getting into ministry and all of that, so much of that had to do with encouragement that I was given from a young age whenever I was given opportunities to lead in the service. And so let's make sure that we are encouraging and uplifting and make sure you get a chance to meet and talk to these kids after our services are over. We are going to have a little bit of a different style of service tonight. We are going to have an opening prayer by Ethan Dudley, who is not one of our youngsters, but is a fantastic servant of the church. But then we are going to have Oliver Bookout, Jackson Tipton, Levi Bookout, Artie Abshire, Cole Adams, Jackson Tipton, Asher Hazel. They are all going to lead us in a number of songs and scripture readings. And then I will give a brief lesson and invitation. Bucky will have an invitation song, and Artan will close us out with a prayer. And so it'll be a fairly short and condensed service. But right after that, I want to ask that you stay in your seats because we have a few other things planned also. We have a couple of puppet shows that the kids did at convention last week in Nashville that they'd like to do for us here right after services. And participating in that, we'll have kindergarten through third grade who does the first show. And that'll be Amelia Kennedy, Claire Adams, Ella Jo Abshire, Jace Tipton, and Lily Benton. And then we're going to have our fourth grade and up do a second show. And that'll be Camden Rogers, Elise Hazel, Henry Bentley, and Jackson Tipton. And then, what you've all been waiting for, after that, we're going to set up two tables, one here and one here, and we're going to have four of our young people, Camden Rogers, Elise Hazel, Jackson Tipton, and Oliver Bookout, against four of our elders in a public Bible Bowl challenge to see who can best handle the text of Genesis. And so anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure and stick around if at all possible. But also be sure and let these kids know that this takes a lot of work. There are a lot of our young people involved. But then also there are so many parents involved and so many leaders with Lads to Leaders. Bucky and Michaela have done a tremendous amount. But then also there's a lot of parental involvement. So be sure and let them know you appreciate their good work as well. Those are all the announcements that I have. It's about time for us to get started. So, Ethan, would you lead us in an opening prayer, and we will begin.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for another beautiful spring day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you together as a church family. You've been so good to us, and we can never repay you. When we count our blessings, let us give gratitude to you, and when we have tough times, let us look to you for hope. You're in control of all things, and your loving kindness for your people remains forever. Thank you for all who are willing to serve in the church, to lead, teach, and foster the spiritual growth of others. Thank you for the time and effort many have put into raising up the youth of our church. We pray that you would give them all that they need to continue to grow into the servants that you want them to be. Be with everyone who will be leading our worship service this evening. We know you smile upon your children when they honor and praise you. Bless us all with the joy that comes when we worship you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today I will be singing Blue Skies and Rainbows. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Tall mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me all make me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part.
Today, I'll be reading Genesis 28, verses 13 through 15. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
Today we will be singing in all three verses of Jesus loves the little children, Jesus died for all the children, and Jesus rose for all the children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world.
I will be reading Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Widow wants to him be warm, they are he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Today I'll be reading Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Today, I will be reading The Battle Belongs to the Lord, verses 1 and 3. In heaven we honorable enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses and hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
I will be reading Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Thank you guys for a wonderful job. And thank you for that scripture reading we just had. I love Romans 15, 13. As you read through the book of Romans, you can see that Paul, he's building a pretty detailed argument for the reality of God's overarching plan throughout history to bring about one family and one people from all the families and all the nations and peoples of the earth under the lordship and kingship of his son, Jesus. And he has been building that argument from Romans chapter 1, and he kind of reaches the climax of it in Romans 15. And he concludes this lengthy argument with a series of quotations from every part of the Old Testament, from the law, the prophets, and the writings. And he quotes from each one of those sections, and all of which talk about, if you look at verse 9, he says, of chapter 15, he says, "For the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name." The idea is of a Jew singing the name of God together with Gentiles. That is a message that Paul is saying, even the Old Testament was about that. Like, that's what everything has been building to. That's always been part of God's plan. He says in verse 10, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." So the Jews would be his people, and he's saying that, that God has always wanted the Gentiles and the Jews to rejoice together in the salvation of God. When you get to verse 11, he says, "And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." So again, the God of Israel is being praised by the Gentiles together with the people who are the covenant people of Israel. And then you get to verse 12, he says, again, Isaiah says, "There shall come from the root of Jesse," that's David's dad, so someone from the line of Jesse, the line of David, "and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles hope." And so he's saying there's going to be a Jewish king and Messiah who is king not only of the Jews, but also he rules the Gentiles as well, so that Jews and Gentiles are united in one family with one king who is Lord over all. Praise God for that. In fact, he ends by saying, "In him the Gentiles shall hope." And that word hope is really, really important right here, because so much of this message is centered on having assurance and conviction and hope in the lordship of Jesus and in the plans of God that have come to fruition and that will also be realized in the future. And that's why after verse 12, and he says, "In him," in Christ, "shall the Gentiles hope," notice what he says in verse 13, "And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So notice how in Christ, the Gentiles will, or the nations will hope. And then he says that God, the God we serve, is the God of hope. And then notice how he ends verse 13, "so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Notice how hope in this section is repeated three times, once in connection with hoping in Jesus, the root of Jesse, the Messiah, the Lord. The other is in hope, the God of hope that we have, who fills us with joy and peace. And then the other is the hope that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The triune God that we serve is a God who infuses his people with hope. Sometimes we live in a world, I think, that is in desperate need of hope. We live in a world that you can be overcome by bad news. You can be overcome by despair. You can be overcome by grief. You can look out and you can think that sin is winning, or the world empires are ruling unfairly and unjustly. You can look out at the world and you can see death, which has stung life after life and has impacted so many people. And you think sin and death and greed and power and the rule of darkness is winning. What can you have that can pull you through in times of despair like that? You can have the hope that we have in Christ, the hope that comes from the God of hope and the hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. And do you know what that hope can actually do for you? Even in times of turmoil and difficulty, that hope can produce something in you. So looking at some of the words in verse 13, as he concludes this message with a message of hope, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," or in faith. Like, what he's saying is, when you learn to have true and abiding hope in God, The God that is always sure and steadfast and constant. The God who you can hope on regardless of whether you're suffering persecution or what calamities may be befalling you. The God who is a rock and who is constant and steady and whose steadfast love never ceases. That God you can always hope in. And when you do have hope in that God, even in the darkest of times, you can find peace and you can find joy in believing or in faith. Think about what it is about faith that can give us joy and that can give us peace. Well, faith produces a lot of things. You look at what the story and the person of Jesus has done. And when you have conviction and trust and faith and allegiance in that king, then you can know that God's promises have not been forgotten and have been fulfilled. That can give you joy. That can give you peace regarding his promises into the future. You can look at what Christ has done, and by believing in him, you can believe and have confidence that there is a true Lord who is reigning at the right hand of God over all of the nations, so that no matter what happens on this earth, we do have a good king. We do have a true Lord who we can put our hope in. That is something that can give you peace in times of turmoil and even joy. When you think about things that come from believing, if you truly believe that Jesus has given his life for you so that you can stand justified and saved before God, even though you are unworthy and even though you in this world of sin have contributed to it and have been a part of this mess of sin in this world, you can stand forgiven and justified. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin, right? Blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven. Paul quotes that just earlier in this very same book. You can have hope and joy in the forgiveness that you have in God. You can also have peace and joy and hope when you remember that even death itself has been conquered by our Lord, has been conquered by our Messiah, has been defeated so that we can, again, have hope of conquering death ourselves. When you look at the words that Paul uses to conclude this book, after showing that Jews and Gentiles are united into one family, he reminds them that in this family where Jesus is head, in this family where Jesus is Lord, there is an unceasing supply of joy, of peace, and of hope in a world that often tries to steal it from you. But that hope and joy and peace comes from understanding the message of Christ and understanding the God that we serve and trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit who is present with us each and every day. That's something that is true 2,000 years ago when Paul writes this letter, and it's just as true today. It's a cause for joy and peace and hope. And so as we bring our lesson to a close, I want you to go through this week remembering there is something to be joyful about. You can rejoice, remembering that there is a source of peace that is ever present, even in times of difficulty, and to remember that you have something you can hope in that is eternal and sure and steadfast. So put your hope in Christ. And if there's anyone here tonight who would like to do that, who would like to put their faith in Christ and have this hope, then please let that be known. You can name Jesus as Lord of your life. You can have your sins washed away in baptism. You can be risen anew to be part of his new creation, living for him from this day forward. If we can help you do that, please let that be known. You can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.